All right. Just three lessons that we want to highlight. The first lesson being, do not hate your brother. Okay? Very simple. All right? One of the things that we want to do in this church is to teach the Bible and teach it clearly, and if necessary, teach it simply. Usually, the Bible is pretty self-explanatory. Okay? Do not hate your brother. James says in verse 11, do not speak against one another or judge one another. Okay? Now, what is James talking about? James talking about, James is referring back to what Jesus said. Remember when we were talking about the Ten Commandments? Jesus says the Ten Commandments, or the law of God, can be broken into two categories. Love God, love people. Okay? So James, right now in this section, is talking specifically about the second section, loving people. Okay? Now, again, if we take a step back, we know that James is talking about humility. Right? Humility. Okay? So now what he's saying is, he's equating humility in our Christian lives with love for one another. Okay? So what James is saying is, you can say you're a Christian all you want. You can wear the t-shirt. We don't wear the t-shirts in this church, but people wear t-shirts, right? People sing the songs and do the motion, and you can even volunteer at BBS. You can do all these things. Yet, James says, if you do not love one another, if you do not love especially the church, when James is talking about one another, he's talking about the church. Okay, James is writing to the church. He's not writing to just people. Okay, he's writing specifically to Christians. Alright? So what he's trying to say is this. Talking about your faith is of very little value. If you say you have faith, great. Prove it. Act it out. Okay? True faith plays out in real actions. Okay? Do not speak against one another. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges against the law. Okay? So speaking or judging, what is he talking about? Speaking or judging? Simply put, it is this. We are commanded by God to love the church. Right? Breaking the law, that law comes out in hating the church. Okay? And you go, okay, so how do I hate the church? Hating the church, James says here, some examples of it, is gossip, slander. They're similar but a little bit different. Gossip is me sharing with Jay a specific prayer request about Johnny without Johnny's knowledge. Okay? That's gossip. That's a nice, right? Like I said before, that's a really nice Christian way of gossiping. We need to pray for Johnny. Johnny's not in the room. Right? We need to pray for Johnny. He's obsessed with magic. Right? Let's pray against his obsession with magic. It's like, what? But Johnny's not there. Right? Slander. Slander is similar, but it's a little bit more direct in my view, because slander is just straight up just you just talking trash about another person when they're not there. Right? So it's like, hey Brandon, did you know that Elliot, when he smiles, he's got one crooked tooth. Right? See, that's bad. Right? Slander is you talking about someone in a way that it makes that person look a little bit less in another person's eye. Right? So it's like I'm talking with Brandon about Elliot, and I say things that make Brandon see Elliot a little bit less than before. Right? That's slander. Right? And prejudice. Judging. Prejudging. Prejudice is straight up just prejudging people. How does that work? Prejudging people in the church is pretty bad, because mainly it's because it kills your welcome. Right? And prejudging in the church simply means that before you say or do anything, somebody walks into the building and you judge by the way they dress, the way they walk, what kind of iPod or iPhone they have, what kind of car they drove in, and you make assumptions about them. And I told you guys many times before that I have been a part of, I've been a victim of that sort of prejudice in a local church in our area. Where if you're a college student, you want to be a member of that church, you have to dress a certain way and you have to drive a certain type of car. Otherwise, they don't notice you. They don't notice you. I was a part of that church for 3 months before anybody said hi to me. You could probably guess that I couldn't wait to leave when the service was over. To this day, I still don't know why I stuck around. Mainly because I just didn't know anyone. Anyway, that's hatred for the church. So when you gossip against one another, when you slander, and when we prejudge, that's showing hatred for the church. That's going against God's direct commands. God's command for the church would be the opposite, to love the church. Right? Opposite of gossip, encouragement. Opposite of slander, pray for them. Opposite of prejudging, here's a wild idea. Brag about your church. So a lot of my friends, they've never been here. Some of them you've met Eddie, you've met Rob. They think that I have the greatest church in the world. Mainly because I say it. You know? They go, hey, how many people show up? And I answer with, never mind how many people show up. Let me tell you a kid named Brandon. He used to be obsessed with Facebook. Now he comes every Saturday morning at 7 o'clock. He doesn't care who comes or not. He comes and prays for some weird kid named Che, who's obsessed with anime. Right? Let me tell you about a kid named Keys. I didn't know his name for the first 6 months at church. Now I realize his name is Nathan. And then I realize, no, it's actually Yoongi. You know? I brag about you guys. Right? So all of my friends, whether they've been here or not, they think we're the greatest church. You know? They're like, man, what are you guys doing there? That's, you know, you're so boastful of your church. You know? And Paul does that a lot too. He brags about his church. Right? To the point where this is one part, this is pretty cool, right? This is mostly for like leaders, like Johnny and I, like we're working our butts off for you guys and stuff. Paul says, man, you guys are my letter of recommendation to God, right? You are like my bragging report to God, you know? So like, I don't do anything. God sees you, and like, whoa, you know? And so think about that. So whenever we want to gossip, I mean, here's a little real life application, right? When you are tempted to gossip, because let's be honest, we give a lot of reasons to gossip to one another, okay? Man, so and so never ever fixes their taillights. What the heck? Someone saw that somebody offers to fix it for them for free. Okay, that's gossip. Don't do that. That's bad. Okay, instead of that, you encourage them. Getting a ticket for no taillights is bad. I highly encourage you in the name of the Lord to get your car fixed, right? Or something. Or praying for. This is a good one. This is one that I've actually done many, many times before, right? This is the one in the scenario where you literally just can't stand this one person. And I remember this one Bible study, they called it sandpaper people. The Bible study said, when you go to church, you have one person who's a sandpaper person. They rub you the wrong way every time. Sandpaper person, right? And so so what I would do is whenever I would think about that person, you pray for them. You pray for them. You know? And not anything bad, not like, oh God, please, you know, break their ankles. No, don't, just not that kind of prayer, right? But good prayer, right? So you say, oh God, you know, please let them come to know you. Please let them be, you know, sensitive to what you have to say. Stuff like that, right? So do not hate your brother. Why? Because disobedience to God's law is hatred against God. Right? James, that's basically what James says. If you hate God's law, you actually hate God. Where are we? He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer, but you're not a doer of the law, but you are a judge of it. Okay? When he said, no, when he used the word judge, he's basically, you got to think of it as more like disrespect. Right? You're kind of standing against, above it, against it, saying, man, this is bad. Okay? Basically, another way to say it is, when we disobey a rule or a law, okay? What you're saying is, this law or rule is pretty stupid. So, you know what? I'm just not going to obey it. Because I think I can make a better one. Right? For example, I'm sure this never happens in our church, but I've heard that there's other churches where people in those churches, they drive their cars a lot faster than the posted speed limit. I know that never happens in our church because we're all God-loving, law-abiding citizens. However, other churches I heard, there are a lot of bad people, need a lot of prayers, okay? We're gossiping about other churches. This is bad. Just as an example, though, okay? This, in this imaginary church, right? And what they're doing is they're going faster. So the speed limit says 50. And you go, huh, that's funny. Or I heard, don't tell Peggy I said this, but I heard that there's an imaginary state called Maryland where I've heard that they look at the speed limit not as a law, but as a suggestion. Okay? It's a very bad suggestion is what I was told by one Maryland citizen. Right? And I've heard that Marylanders usually don't go the speed limit. They see that as, like, if your car is broke down and you're hurting in pain or something, then you go that speed. But usually, you don't want to do that. Okay, you want to go a little bit faster. They said on average you want to add about 10 to 15 miles per, right, above the posted speed limit. That's the actual speed that you should be driving. Okay? It's theoretical, it's weird, but people do that, right? Or more personally, right? There's a couple, if you're driving, sometimes like it'll say it's an on-ramp or an off-ramp. It's a hill. So you got to go 30 miles an hour. And you go, I could take that turn in 50, right? Why? Because you're saying, number one, I am a superior driver than those obvious idiots that you've written that rule for. Therefore, I don't need to obey that rule. Second, my car is a superior vehicle. Therefore, my car can handle the speeds that I'm going to use it for. Ha, right? So when we do that, what are we saying? That rule, that speed limit is stupid. It's bad. It's unrealistic. Right? You guys know that I'm a big car fan, and I have, you know, I'm subscribed to a lot of car magazines. And I read this article one time where this guy asked, he's like, if the government has these speed limits all over the country, then why is it that every single vehicle that's available to buy in America right now can violate every single one of those speed limits? You know, and this author was saying even like the smallest smart car, which is Elliot's dream car in hot pink, right? He was saying even the smart car, I don't even think it has like 1 liter. It's like a three cylinder or basically like a motorcycle engine in it, in that thing, right? Even the smart car can hit 60, 65, 70 if you've pressed on the accelerator long enough, right? And so this author was like, What's the point? Like, if the government wants you to obey the law, then why do they allow vehicles to be sold, right? And then it goes into a whole lot of weird stuff. But basically, disobeying the rule. As you see, against, on top of it, against it, and saying, that rule is stupid. Now, as ridiculous as that example about the speed limit is, we do the same thing against God in terms of God's rules, God's laws. There have been a lot of debates in the church, right? In the history of the church, in the 2,000-year history of the church, a lot of smart people and a lot of smart pastors have argued, right? For example, that since we are now New Testament believers, like we are in Christ, therefore we don't have to go to a temple in Jerusalem and sacrifice animals every time I hate Brandon in my heart. I don't have to do that anymore. I just, you know, we pray. New Testament believers. There have been smart pastors who said, since we are New Testament believers, therefore we do not need to obey the law of God. We're just kind of like free to just do whatever the heck we want. Against that, there are other smart people that are like, no. I think freedom, as defined by the Bible, freedom is we are freed from this slavish obedience to the law with the vain hope that we're going to somehow one day earn God's favor, which is impossible. Like, we can never obey God enough that He'll love us, right? But freedom in Christ is because Jesus obeys it. When we trust in Him, His full obedience becomes ours. And so now, when it comes to the law of God, it goes from, oh man, I need to do these things so that God will love me. And it gets flipped into, God loves me, therefore I want to do these things. Right? And so, when we look at that, the law of God and our disobedience to it becomes a little absurd. Right? That if you are a child of God, whereas beforehand, even if you wanted to obey God's law, we couldn't. We had no ability, we had no power, nor did we have the desire. But now in Christ, you're in the house, you're in the family. You now have the power and the ability to do so, to obey. And so, James is saying, if that's the case, it's absurd that we disobey God's law, especially in His law, which talks about loving the church. I think the big reason why a lot of us don't want to serve the church is because we don't love the church. Because Johnny and I will tell you, man, serving the church takes a lot of love, a lot of submission, a lot of patience. Right? You can even ask Reverend Troy. You probably ask Young. Young can probably tell you like side effects. Loving the church sometimes, man, it's health percussions. Right? A lot of sleepless nights. You know, a lot of stress. You guys know that my dad was a pastor, retired guy now. Man, when he was doing ministry, he lose weight like so fast. Like, we could never give him enough food for him to get fat. The only time he ever gained weight was when he was, like, on break, like sabbaticals or whatever. You know? But we need to love the church because we remember to love the church. We love the church not because it's so good to us. It's so easy. Loving the church is hard. Serving the church is hard. But we love the church and we serve the church because we have been commanded to. We love the church, we serve the church because we love God. We obey His commands. In the 21st century, that word obedience has become a curse word. The problem is God doesn't care what we think about that word. He never says in the Bible, understand me completely. Be able to fully theologize or theorize or whateverize me to your friends. He never says that. He just says, obey. Love me and obey me. That's what God says. And you go, that sounds so simple and so dumb in the modern world, you know, because modern philosophy says, no, you got to be free, you can do whatever you want. Again, I say this to you one more time, those people are idiots and they've never had babies. Because you could talk to any father in the world, and every single father's desire for their child is two things. Love and obedience. That's all we want. Love and obedience. So as you're, you know, for Father's Day, if you haven't gotten a card, go home and make one and say, Dad, I love you and I will try to obey you. Okay? You'll make him a very happy man for today. And so the third lesson we see is God is God, I am not. Okay? James says this, there is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? What he's saying is simply this, God alone is the lawgiver. God alone has the right to make the law the way he sees fit. We don't have the right or the power to say, to enter into a dialogue with God and say, you know what, that law is kind of stupid. That law is kind of dumb. I don't want to do that. James is saying, guess what? God don't care. Right? Che, what was the lesson earlier at 11 o'clock? If God tells you to do something and you don't like it, guess what? He doesn't care. You still got to do it. Right? It's a little bit like with dads and kids. Kids want to stick their hands in the fire. I know this because I was grilling stuff yesterday. My baby wants to stick his hand in hot coal. He wants to stick his face on the grill. Mainly because he wants to smell the meat. Fantastic. Anyway, right? But as his father, my rule is, don't do that. Do not stick your hand into the fire. Do not put your face against the grill. Right? I'm his father. I'm the man of the house. I make the rules. They're good for you. Right? And basically, that's what James is saying. James is saying, yo, God is God. We are not. We don't have the right, we don't have the position or the power to ever say to God, God, no, this law sucks, so I'm not going to obey it. To that, God is saying, oh, you don't like the law, let me change it for you. No. God says, you don't like the law? That's too bad. It's for your good. Obey it. Obey it. It's always, always, always a healthy exercise for us to say to ourselves, God is God, I am not. God is God, I am not. And to that, add, and he's quite content in keeping it that way. God is God, I am not. And he's happy keeping it that way. And so we have no right or place in modern times. We, as young Christians, we like the idea of God as a friend, right? You guys might know this song, but a couple years ago there was a song from Hillsong. Jesus, you are my best friend. Basically, the whole song is talking about Jesus is your best friend. That's fine. All right, the Bible talks about God is closer than a brother. Okay, that's fine. And in this idea, modern idea of, you know, God is like an intimate lover. Right? This is for, I guess, like Korean Christian guys, like it's getting in touch with their drama-loving emotional side. Because it's like, oh, God is your lover. So you don't need weird girls. You just need God. Maybe it was just us in college, but anyway. We never bought it, but it was there, okay? So God is a buddy, he's your best friend, or he's your lover. Okay, kind of makes sense, I guess. But the problem is, you don't obey your friend. And if you're a dude, you should listen to the advice of your girlfriend most of the time, okay? But you're not going to obey her. She's not going to be like, Johnny, go get my cup of water. 2 o'clock every night, every day on the dot. no, this is so ridiculous. This is not going to happen. Right? Because Jonathan's like, no, I'm the man of the house. You don't tell me what to do. Okay? And that's kind of the problem with us, with God, especially for the young generation. We see God as a lover or a buddy, but the problem is God is also king. We forget about that sometimes. And I think that's one of the reasons why we have a huge problem with this obedience part. We don't want to obey God because it's ridiculous to obey a friend. It's ridiculous to obey a lover. But if we were to truly love God as he is in the Bible, as the Bible says, then we have to understand God is a friend, God is a lover, but God is also a king. Oh, wait a second. You didn't tell me about this kingship stuff. God is a king. And when we think about that, because when you're in the presence of a king, you can't help but to kneel. You can't help but to submit. We don't have kings in this country, but we all know that concept. Right? Even if we don't have a king, in the presence of a president, you still kneel. Right? The rule of the land is, it's an unspoken rule. I don't know if it's a written rule or not. But if you're in a room, everyone's sitting in a room. President walks in, everyone does what? Stands up. Out of what? Respect. Right? President walks in, Elliot, can you go do this? You don't gotta do it. Elliot, go. Elliot's shaking his head right now, but you know, it's okay, because if that had really happened, as much as he might not have or ever will vote for Obama, doesn't matter. He's still gonna get him a glass of water. Out of respect. Right? Same thing like that with God. We can't see him just as a friend. We can't see him just as a lover. We gotta also remember to see him as king. As a king. So when he tells us to do something, we do it out of obedience, out of love, out of respect. Right? That's why we love the church. We love church because we love God. We love the church because we respect God. And we love the church because we obey and we submit to God. Let's pray.